One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Are you tired of advertisements? You can listen to this episode and more ad-free for only $1 a month by supporting the show on Patreon. Visit MonstersAmongUsPodcast.com and hit the Patreon tab for more details. Folks, how's that new year treating you? Certainly can't be any worse than the last. What the hell was that, anyway? Well, whatever it wasn't for me. And I'm excited to move on. However, I am glad to have you back for a new episode. We'll open the new year in the right way. And I trust both the holiday specials found you content and festive. The entire MAU crew worked pretty hard to keep those episodes on theme and out on time. But we sure had a good time putting them together. But you know, the fun doesn't end there, because I'm back tonight with a brand new installment. And to get things started this evening, we begin in the Lone Star State. Daniel from Texas, welcome to tonight's program.
Hello, Derek. My name is Daniel. I live in a small city outside of Houston called Pasadena, and that's where my story takes place. Around 1997-98, my parents and my younger brother, we lived in a small efficiency in the town, which is an all-bills-paid, low-income apartment. In the back of the apartment, there was literally a bayou that ran by it, right through the back of it. One night, me and my little brother were playing in the closet with a toy box that we had. Around this time, my mom was working overnight, and my dad was taking care of us during the day. We didn't see my mom pretty much at all until the weekend. My dad was a little bit on the abusive side around this time. He was drinking a lot. So we were kind of afraid of him. We would just kind of stay away from him. I had to have been in fourth or third grade or so. And this particular night, I could hear my dad watching TV in the living room. And I remember vividly that it was in living color. I could hear the theme song coming on. In our toy box, we had a small alarm clock, like the one that Bill and Murray has, where the the cards flip. I had never seen anything like that in my life, you know. So I left the closet and went to go plug it in. As I was plugging in the wall that I was going to plug it into, all of a sudden turns red. Like if a brake light was to hit a wall, I mean, the whole thing turns bright red. And there was a black shadow about the size of the room. Mind you, it's an apartment room, so it had to have been, what, 7-8 feet tall. And it had the reverse knees, like the goat legs. It had a huge upper body, and it had these horns. I was absolutely terrified. I stood there for what felt like an eternity. Couldn't have been more than a minute or two. But it didn't do anything. It just kind of shifted back and forth. And the strangest thing about it all was that even though it was a shadow, I could see the details in the shadow, if that makes any sense. Like the muscles and where the tendons should be. You could tell it apart from other parts of the shadow. I remember just staring at it. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know. I was so terrified I couldn't even scream. It was one of the few times in my life where I was scared, frozen. And just like it appeared, it just vanished. Didn't say anything, didn't do anything. I walked back into the closet with my little brother. He's 3 years younger than me. I couldn't have been seven or eight years old, so he had to be five. So I didn't want to scare him. So I just kind of kept it to myself and kind of had that. I've always been worried that it kind of would pop up again because I never knew what its intention were. It looked, for lack of a better term, it looked like what you would see a traditional Wendigo would look like, but massive, like massive, massive. We never saw anything again in that apartment, but we didn't stay there very long afterwards. Probably about a week to 3 weeks later, for whatever reason, I never really spoke to my parents about it. I was a little kid. They were looking for another place around this time. I don't know if they had seen anything or anything like that, but the day they happened to go check out these apartments and these houses, my mom happened to leave the stove on, and the entire apartment burned. Was destroyed. The strange thing was, none of the surrounding apartments were destroyed. It was just ours. It was completely, we lost everything, everything. We had to start all over again. So, after the apartment burned down, we had the worst luck ever. We got stuck at my dad's uncle's house, and they weren't very nice people to children. Eventually, we moved into a house, And things got way better. You know, my dad stopped drinking, and we just got away from that whole situation. The only thing I wish I knew is what I saw. I hear people talk about stories about seeing shadow people and things like that, but I've never heard anybody have a story quite like mine. I've heard very, very similar ones. I think there was one on season 4. I think it was episode 3 where he said he saw a shadow that looked like a vampire, and he didn't understand it. And the same thing here. I've heard similar, but not quite the same. There was literally a bayou that ran by the back of the house. It was kind of like a small river. Well, it feeds off the river, but it's like a small stream. So there was active water back there. I don't know if that had anything to do with it. That whole area was pretty weird and scary. There was a dead body found in that bayou. Actually, multiple dead bodies found in that bayou. And a manatee once. But yeah, if anybody else would have any kind of stories very similar to mine, I would really appreciate some input and other people's experiences. That way I don't feel so alone, you know. Thank you, Derek, for everything you do. I love your show. I've been listening for a good part of 2 years now. Never had a chance to call, so decided to do it today. Once again, thank you very much for everything you do.
Thank you, sir. How could you even imagine a shadow of that description overtaking you? An image such as what Daniel described cast upon your bedroom wall. And one obvious question bubbles to the surface. What exactly was it? A trick of the eye, a misremembered memory, or an actual half-goat, half-human hybrid. that somehow made its way into Daniel's home. And you know, if it were the latter, it's not lost on me that the encounter took place in the state of Texas, and more specifically, a particular swath of land, nestled in the central part of the state. Here, let me explain. It's well known that Texas has its fair share of Goatman legends, especially in the areas around and in between Dallas and Houston. One of the most infamous, occurring just a few hundred miles to the north of where Daniel had his experience, near a lake just outside of Fort Worth.
Creatures and critters, present and past, have wandered the Fort Worth Nature Center for decades.
And people used to drive out into this old sand pit.
But one in particular has fascinated more than any other.
A good spot for young folk to do what young folk do.
Rob Dankhouse is the manager of the Nature Center and took us to the old hangout spot where in 1969, something happened.
They heard some disturbance. And then a loud scream, a tire, with a rim, mind you, came flying 500 feet off that ridge.
And when the crowd looked up,
they saw a creature up on top there.
Some who have seen it say it looks like a half man, half goat.
And it was hairy and I couldn't see his face. It was in the dark.
A local journalist chronicled in a book the drawings and newspaper clippings of the Lake Worth Goat Man.
That clip courtesy of WFAA. ABC News 8 out of Dallas. And using a combination of archival and contemporary footage, they do a pretty good job of conveying the fear and amazement most in that area felt about their brush with a Texas goat man. But it wasn't just the 60s and 70s that this occurred, and the folks of Lake Worth weren't the only ones. In 2001, a jogger encountered another upright, hair-covered, goat-like humanoid near White Rock Lake, Texas, a Dallas suburb. Now, it's said that the creature approached the woman, horns on its head and a grin on its lips. A creature, locals claim, has been seen in the area since at least the 1960s. In 2002, a woman named Jan saw one of these goat men standing under her pecan tree, her dog nipping at its heels. I also found a few mentions of the Sabine River Goatman as well, but no clear details on individual sightings. Just something in the zeitgeist down there. And of course, probably the most popular of all the Goatmen in the Lone Star State, the Goatman of Old Alton Bridge, near Denton, Texas.
According to legend, in the 1930s, there was a black man named Oscar Washburn, who was a prosperous goat herder. He placed a sign at the foot of the old Alton Bridge that enraged the local Ku Klux Klan. In the dark of the night, they lynched Oscar on that very same bridge. There are those who believe that Oscar now haunts the woods in a half-man, half-goat form. Whether a vengeful spirit or something more, there's no doubt that when the sun goes down, these woods come alive.
Now that short history lesson, courtesy of Ghost Adventures, and details the most popular origin story of this OG goat man. And you know, unlike most places with legends like these, this one you can actually visit and search out the goat man yourself. It's a park and there's a trail leading up to the now-retired bridge. But if you do go, be careful. The Goatman isn't the only danger lurking out there. The following took place just last month. Denton County, Texas Sheriff's deputies are investigating after a Denton man was found shot and killed not far from the old Alton Road Bridge, also known as Goatman's Bridge. 42-year-old Alan Wilson was shot in the head in a gravel parking lot between Copper Canyon Road and the Old Alton Bridge on the morning of Tuesday, December 5th, according to medical examiner records. Wilson's death is being investigated as a possible homicide. Now that news report from KDFW, Fox 4 out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. and it's certainly a tragic situation. But look, all murders aside, it is rather strange that there are so many ghostly legends in this relatively short corridor in East Central Texas. I managed to slap together quite the collection of legends, and that was just in a few hours' time. I have suspicion that there may be more out there. So if I'm missing a Goatman legend from your area, be sure to let me know. And of course, to add Daniels to the mix, even though his occurred a bit to the south, it's still something worth noting. So be it a maniac in a goat suit, a strongly rooted hometown legend, or some sort of ancient evil, ever present, always watching, it gives us yet another reason why we shouldn't mess with Texas. Thank you again, Daniel, for showing us the rabbit hole. Now, folks, if you have a story you would like to share here on the program, a true, spooky, paranormal story, give our hotline a call at 888-608-NIGHT. That's 888-608-NIGHT. Or record a voice memo on your phone in a quiet part of the house and email it to me at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. Now, folks, this next entry takes us to the Pacific Northwest. Jasmine from Washington State, welcome to the show.
Hi, Derek. This is Jasmine. I am from a small town in Washington. It's in Yakima County. So I really love this show, so I'm excited to share the story with you guys. So my great-grandma has a ranch out in this county out here. One day, my uncle was telling us that he went to go pick up one of my cousins from my great-grandma's house because they used to work together, so they would ride along together. And on their way back, so it's like a gravel entrance that you go through to get to their house. So it's by the canal and stuff. There's like a big canal. And it's like really out there, out in the cut. So one early morning, about 3 a.m. or 4 a.m., I believe is what they said, he had gone out there to pick him up. Everything was good. He didn't see anything on his way into my great-grandma's driveway. But on their way back, they both were in the car, and they, on the distance, they saw like a woman walking by the canal, and they were like, what the heck? You know, like, why is someone out here walking at 3 a.m. when it's like pitch black? There's no lights out there or anything. So they were kind of concerned why there was somebody walking out there in a really black, long dress. So they slowly drive and they start getting closer to this woman, and they try to get her attention. They roll down the window, and they're trying to be like, hey, like in Spanish, trying to talk to her. Like, hey, are you lost? Are you looking for anybody? And when they look into the woman, they notice that she has no feet. You can't see her face. It's covered like in a black veil. So they were really scared. They tried to get the attention of whatever this was, but it just wouldn't look at them and just kept walking. And so once they seen that it didn't have a face, they booked it. They drove as fast as they could out of there. They were freaked out ever since then. And a lot of people have mentioned before that they've seen like this woman, which I personally have actually seen it too as well. But this was during the daytime. I was actually out and about at my great grandma's, helping her pick some, I believe it was some grapes from her grape vineyard that she has there. And I seen a woman. This time she was wearing like a gray, whitish, long dress stuff. And at first I thought it was my grandma. And I was like, hey, grandma, like I'm over here. But then I turned around. And I remember my grandma was next to me. So I told her, who just went inside the house? And she said, nobody else is here. And I said, no, I literally seen a person open that door to my great-grandma's house and go inside the house. And she said, there's nobody else here. And I said, well, someone just went inside her house. So I was speechless. To this day, I'm still, like, really freaked out to even go out there at night or even in the morning, early mornings, I try not to go. If I go, I have to go with somebody because I'm just freaked out. But so I had to go check to make sure that nobody was in the house and there was nobody in there. But yeah, it's kind of freaky. It still freaks me out to this day. But I've heard a lot of stories. A lot of people have seen stuff out there, especially in my early morning days. But ever since that story was my uncle's, I knew that it was my uncle, my cousin. I knew it was something that it just not happened to me, but it happened to them as well. And that I wasn't going crazy or seeing stuff, but they were freaked out as well. But like I said, this lady didn't have no face. So as soon as they booked it, they never really spoke of it to us. Just that one time, and to this day, they don't speak of it because it just freaked them out really bad. But thanks, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Jasmine. Now, between this season and the last, I produced a few episodes that were essentially bonus episodes. An excuse to try out new equipment, a friendly reminder that we're still out there, or simply just to get a guest on the show with me. And it was during the latter that I heard a story similar to yours, Jasmine. The guest was Allie Terry from Let's Get Haunted podcast. And Allie isn't only a big-time podcaster, but she also manages farms here in the SoCal area, Ventura County specifically. And that's the setting for the following tale, pulled directly from her interview from Season 15, Episode 25.
I was working on a piece of land that at that time was growing industrial hemp. A lot of people will try to break into hemp farms because they think they can smoke it. So we would have to have on these pieces of property 24-hour surveillance. And in ag land, that's pretty rural. So you have to have people, security guards out there about 24 hours a day. And the night shift, we had two people working the night shift on this piece of property I was working on, and they quit suddenly with no explanation. And so my job was to go run down, because I'm bilingual, so I'll run down and figure out, like, why did this person quit, and, you know, how can I make them stay? And they told me that at midnight on one of their night shifts, on the last night of their night shift, they were driving around in this little four-wheeler, and on this very neatly stacked pile of irrigation pipe in a pyramid shape that a human would not be able to scramble up, they came upon a woman dressed all in white with flowing black hair, just sitting quietly at the very top of this irrigation pipe pyramid. And so they were kind of already taken aback by the fact that there's somebody there that's not supposed to be there. And they called out to her, and she just didn't react at all. She was just sitting on top of this irrigation pipe so serenely with the wind blowing. Wow. And then they just left. They left immediately after she didn't respond to them and never came back to work ever again. So then my job was to go find somebody else to do this work. And that person left and told the exact same story, not knowing that the previous security guards had told the exact same story to me.
No kidding. Now, obviously, it's not an exact match. And Allie seems to imply that the entity in her story is the infamous La Llorona. But they're also not too dissimilar either. A specific area haunted by a nondescript female entity that's been witnessed by a number of different people. Sounds like one of those classic hauntings to me. So a big thanks to both Jasmine and Allie for those two comparable tales.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Get everything for your next project at Menards and save big money. We carry everything to help you breathe easier. Allergen air filters help prevent seasonal allergy symptoms and improve your indoor air quality by capturing microparticles while allowing maximum airflow. Save big on Allergen air filters when you shop at Menards. View the weekly flyer and all of our great deals happening this week on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Now, last week we did the Best of 2023 special. And of all the amazing calls featured on that episode, Dave's doppelganger story generated the most buzz. So since doppelgangers seem to freak you all out, let's revisit the subject. Please join me in welcoming Hannah from Virginia.
Hi, Derek. This is Hannah from Virginia. So this just happened. It was a weird thing. So my neighbor, she's right across the street from me, and I babysit for her. She was at the Starbucks drive-thru this morning and texted me a little bit later, and she said, "Hey, is there any chance that you were in front of me this morning at the drive-thru?" And so I said, "No, I wasn't there." And she said that it was a Highlander, which is the car that I drive. It was a different color, but, you know, still weird that it was a Highlander. And she said that the barista said, "Oh, Hannah was in front of you and was tempted to buy your drink for you." But that's weird because I wasn't there, and she doesn't really know any other Hannahs that drive Highlanders. So that was really weird. And I don't know, I'm sure there's a very logical explanation, but it was just a little strange. Yeah, that's it. Short and sweet. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Hannah. Not necessarily creepy, but certainly intriguing. Could this have been some sort of slip in reality, or a glitch in the Matrix? Then again, could it be a coincidence? We all know a Hannah. We all know a woman that drives a Highlander. And Starbucks is a popular place. Could this all have just been a misunderstanding? Well, like I said last week, I have a number of these sorts of calls, so there's no need to come to a conclusion just yet. I'll be sure to work more into the rotation as we move forward. And I'll warn you that not all are as innocent as Hannah's. But a huge thanks to her for this week's edition. Now, this next call was made anonymously, from parts unknown.
Hi, Derek. I'm calling to just tell you what I saw about not even like 5 minutes ago. We manage a building in our neighborhood, so we went to go visit a tenant to fix a pilot light. And we were walking up the stairs back to our apartment, and I just happened to look up and I saw something in the sky that was bright yellowish red, and I told my fiance, I said, "What's that?" And she looks up and she squints her eyes and says, "I don't know. It looked like a rocket, like how when you see rocket launches, you know, the bottom of it had the bright red yellow, you know, color. And then the top of the rocket, though, it wasn't straight. It was moving in sort of like a circular, sort of gyrating motion. It was weird. It was really weird. And it was really low too, to say the least. And so we kept staring at it, and it started to move up, and it started to move in a diagonal like way. We stared at it for probably maybe about like 5 or 10 minutes, and then it started to fade a little bit, but then it would move again. And then all of a sudden it went from a bright orange to a bright white, but then it would start to flicker like rapidly. And it did that maybe like 3 or 4 times. After it flickered, it kind of moved up a little bit more. And all of a sudden you can see what it did was it like shot like, it looked like two little orange dots from it, like projectiles. Like it was shooting something, or it released something. And the whole time we were just gasping, like, "Oh my God, did you see what it did?" And that's my UFO reporting. Just happened like 5 minutes ago, and just wanted to call in with that and let you know. thanks. I'll stay anonymous for this. So thank you. All right, have a good night. Goodbye.
Now, our mystery caller did call back to tell me that his experience took place in South Beach near Redondo, here in the Los Angeles area. And he also sent in a pair of videos. They don't show much, but they do prove that something mysterious was in the sky that evening. Hit up the show notes at monstersamonguspodcast.com. Take a look and decide for yourself. And thank you again, caller, for sharing the entry. Now, how about we visit another ghost story for this next entry? I bet Tom from Utah has just what we need.
Hi, Derek. Big fan of your podcast. Love it. My name is Tom. I live in Utah. So a quick little incident has been happening to us. I live in a house that's built in 52. And my widowed mother moved in with me. She lives with me. So anyway, we got stairs going down in the basement from our kitchen. And we have noises and knocks and stuff happening in our house, seeing things out of the corner of your eyes. But my mother mentioned something that had been happening to her, that our dogs go to the stairs and just look down there when no one's around, like someone's coming up. And then lately, you stand in the kitchen, you hear the door at the bottom of the stairs opening and closing, and you hear the sound of a girl crying. And then she'll stop crying, and you hear someone going up the steps to the kitchen from the basement, and the dogs will sit there and look at the stairs and then run off scared. And this has been going on for quite some time. There's been various other things going on, but it doesn't really bother us. We just say they're the spooks knocking on the door, rattling something in the kitchen. But every now and again, things happen here that really, you know, makes your skin crawl and kind of scares you a bit. And one of them's this girl that's crying from our basement that comes up the steps and never appears. We call her the crying girl. And it's getting to the point where you can hear her crying all over the house. So that's my story. I love your podcast. Keep up the good work. And have a great day. Bye.
Thank you, Tom. Now, I certainly can't imagine how a wailing ghost would make your skin crawl. Nah, there's nothing creepy about that. Good Lord. Well, my advice to you, Tom, is to get some sort of camera system. If this crying girl is constantly around, chances should be good that you can capture some sort of evidence digitally. A relatively inexpensive way to do that is to buy a Wyze camera off of Amazon. W-Y-Z-E. $20 and an internet connection will get you started. And of course, when you do all that, you know exactly where to send the evidence. And thank you again for sharing that eerie entry.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. And if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Bye-bye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.
Now, folks, I'm not sure where you would file this next one. But given the nature of the activity, I'd say it may be a similar situation to Tom's. Yanni, from Georgia. Welcome to the show.
Hey, my name is Yanni. I am from Georgia. This story happened in a small town in Georgia when I was about 7 or 8. I remember it was late at night. Well, it wasn't too late. It was about 8 or something like that. And my two brothers used to fight a lot as kids. I mean, they were like cats and dogs. And so we were playing in our little playroom, and we used to live by a cemetery. So the cemetery was down the road. Like, literally, you could see it if you were looking out the window. So my brothers were playing in the tent, and they got into a fight. And we were all sitting there, and they were arguing back and forth and fighting and stuff. And then all of a sudden, we heard, it was like a voice, but it was like more than one voice. So it was like a chorus of voices. If you've ever watched like A Haunting or something, and how when like they have the voices come and there's like 3 or 4, it's like a chorus of them, and they're like real creepy, like that's what it sounded like. And it was like right outside the window. And since we were in the tent, we didn't see it. We just heard it. And that kind of stopped everyone from like arguing and fighting. We got really quiet. And then all of a sudden we heard it again. And I think it was saying my brother's name. I really don't remember what it was saying, but I can still to this day remember what the voices sounded like. And we were really scared, and we just bolted. Like, everyone just took off out of the tent, ran past that window, and went to my mom and dad's room. And we're like, you know, this is what we heard. This is what it said. At the time, I remember what it said, but now I can't. I called my brother, my oldest brother. He was the one who liked to fight with my youngest brother. And I called him and I asked him, do you remember that memory? And he goes, yeah, I do remember. So I do have collaboration from him that it did happen and that he did hear the same thing that I did. Anyways, thank you so much. Okay, bye.
Thanks, Yanni. Now, for reference, this is a sound effect from the television show Yanni referenced. This effect was used in at least one episode to depict a spirit entering a room. Of course, that clip was from the Discovery Channel series, A Haunting. And I can't say for sure it's the exact same sound that Yanni is referring to, but you get the idea. A chorus of voices. So with that sound cascading through your ears, put yourself in Yanni's shoes. You begin to hear that sound outside the paper-thin walls of your pup tent. You can only hold your breath so long. What are you gonna do? Thanks again, Yanni. Now, folks, if you tuned in last week, you learned that we finally have a release date for our indie documentary covering the Borrego Triangle. That official date is March 5th, 2024. And I'll have more information in the coming weeks, but for now, mark that on your calendars. And I've had a few people ask about streaming internationally. And we're actually working on that. So hopefully we'll be adding other countries to that release schedule. But in the meantime, a quick workaround is to use a VPN to get access. Or you may happen to be in Australia. Because the Australian premiere of Shadows in the Desert, High Strangeness in the Borrego Triangle is Sunday, February 25th, 2024 at 1 p.m. at Cinema Nova down there in Melbourne. The film will debut as part of their Science Fiction Film Festival, and I've linked the event in tonight's show notes. If you find yourself down under, we would absolutely love it if you went and watched. To stay up to date with news on the film, you can always visit BorregoTriangle.com. Now let's visit one more call before the advertisement break. And very thankful for our sponsors, we are. but up next we venture to Ohio. I was just back there last week. It's dreary this time of year. Well, Jordan, from the Buckeye State, welcome to the program.
Hey, Derek. This is Jordan from Ohio. I just wanted to share a quick story with you. This takes place on the same night as the East Palestine train derailment. I was driving out around 8 p.m. to go meet up with some friends for dinner. And on my way down, I saw in the distance in the sky what I thought was a helicopter. It had the same kind of lights on it. I believe it had a red light and a white light. And it was traveling back and forth in the sky. And I remember thinking in my head that, you know, I was wondering, if it was like patrolling traffic, if it was looking for something, you know, trying to figure out what it might be. But it intrigued me. It kept my attention. It kind of had like a nosedive, you know, when helicopters try to speed up. So it looked like it was diagonal almost. And then on my left hand, as I was driving, there's a long set of trees. It flew over top of the trees and it stayed there. And as I'm driving, getting closer to it, it's not moving. And I thought that was strange. And for a moment, I thought, hey, maybe this is just a radio tower on my left-hand side and the helicopter already flew away. But I've driven past that point many times. There's no radio tower there, but I couldn't help but, you know, be curious about it. And as I'm getting closer, I'm looking up and I'm like, I just don't remember a radio tower, but it looks exactly like a radio tower. The lights were still, you know, positioned in that same spot. So as I was getting closer, I decided to roll down my window. Yeah, there wasn't a lot of traffic at the time. So I rolled down my window, and right as I'm about to be underneath it, I stick my head out the window and I look up, and it's not a radio tower. It looked like the front end of a plane, just the wings and the front end of it. I couldn't see a tail. And it was maybe, you know, 50 feet in the air, but it was probably about 3 school buses wide. It made no sound whatsoever, and I could see the lights on it. It had a red light, and it had a white light. And as I'm staring up, I just can't believe what I'm seeing. You know, I've seen videos of planes being frozen in midair, but it wasn't this. It was completely frozen. And it had no back to it. I've tried to look online. I can't seem to find anything even remotely similar to it. But my fiance does work at the local police station. And I told her the story and asked her to check. There were no drones in the area. There were no helicopters in the area that night. And on my way back from dinner, you know, I was super determined to try to see if I could find this thing again. There's no radio tower. There's nothing there. As I was passing it, I did immediately look in my rearview mirror as soon as I passed it, and the craft, whatever it was completely gone. At that point, you know, traffic started to pick up a little bit, and I had to keep driving. You know, I wish to God that I could have recorded this thing. But I remember thinking at the time, like, why is not everyone, you know, out of their cars and filming this thing at the time? But I kind of get it now that so many UFO stories don't have video evidence. You know, a lot of times you're so entranced by what's happened at the time that you don't even think to pull out your phone. To this day, I still can't explain it. But when I got to dinner, I told my friend about it. And funny enough, he told me on his way to dinner, he also saw a strange set of lights in the distance. They caught his attention, but he assumed was also a radio tower. So, yeah, that's my story. It's only, you know, UFO-type story that I've ever encountered, and I'd be interested to know if anybody else has had a similar experience. But, yeah, thanks for everything that you do, Derek, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, Jordan. Well, that wreck was pretty nasty. All sorts of chemicals spilled into the earth and the groundwater. And from what I gather from the locals, a lot of what was actually dumped along East Palestine wasn't even made public. So who knows what they were actually exposed to. Now there's a wildlife rehab center there in town that I follow on Instagram. and they had all sorts of issues with their animals. I believe at least one died of the toxic fumes. In short, it was a bad situation. And I certainly don't want to imply that UFOs had anything to do with the crash. That blame falls solely on the crooked transportation executives and the companies that cut corners at the cost of good, honest citizens. But instead of dwelling on all that, because like you, I'm powerless to do anything about it, instead, let's focus on another UFO versus train encounter that was every bit as exciting without the devastation of a small Ohio town. Instead, let's venture to the bluegrass state of Kentucky, a place called Paintsville, the site of a collision between some unknown hovering object and a CSX coal train headed south to Shelbyana, Kentucky. It was the early hours of January 14th, 2002, a typical Monday for this seasoned crew. As they rounded a bend, operating on the inside of two sets of tracks, they see a light up ahead. Assuming it to be an oncoming train on the other track, the engineer cut his lights as not to blind the other locomotive. Now, the following was pulled directly from a report made to the National UFO Reporting Center back in 2006. As we rounded the corner, our onboard computer began to flash in and out. Speed recorder went nuts and both locomotives died. Alarm bells began to ring. That's when we saw the objects, apparently scanning the river for something. The objects, at least three, had several searchlights trained there. The first object hovered about 10 to 12 feet above the track, metallic silver in color with multiple colored lights near the bottom and in the middle. No windows or openings of any kind that we could see. Approximately 18 to 20 feet in length and probably 10 feet high. Both engines dead as we rounded the corner, we made little noise, and the first object did not respond in time. I estimate that we hit the object at 30 miles an hour with 16,000 trailing tons behind us. It clipped the top of our lead unit, then skipped back, slicing a chunk out of our trailing unit and first two coal cars. The other objects vanished in the thin air. Now, there was severe damage to the locomotive and a couple of the front cars, but they managed to hobble into the Paintsville yard, where they were met by a literal army of men, strange uniforms, overhead lights, and they were whisked away to the yard office and questioned for hours. Finally, when they were turned loose, they found the locomotives in each of the damaged cars had completely vanished, assumably taken by whomever these mysterious men were. Now, you can read the full reports over at the show notes. There's even a few photos of the damage, courtesy of Lon Strickler's Phantoms and Monsters. I recommend you take a look. But this story does come with a caveat, because I will say that the validity of this report is under suspicion. It said so all over the internet. But let's be honest. That's how at least half of this stuff works. It's all under suspicion. They are mysteries, after all. So take the tale with as many grains of salt as you need. But as far as train accident stories are concerned, it's one of the better yarns I've heard. And at least no one was hurt in that one. Thank you again, Jordan, for sharing the entry. I really hope that things are improving over your way.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
What do you call a dark, floating figure with coal red eyes? I don't know, but it scared the hell out of John. Down in South Carolina.
This is John from Aiken, South Carolina. This happened, I was 18 at the time, so 1993. I was at the house, I was in my bed. It's about 9 o'clock. I was waiting on a call, waiting on a female to call me, so I was had the phone beside me, just looking up at the ceiling, thinking. Suddenly, I feel this draft, like, a wind blew, a gush of wind to me, but my room wasn't by no window or nothing or by no door. So as I turned my head, I thought it was my brother just came, to, like how somebody come to the door and you feel like. And so when I turned my head, I was like, what the? It was this black, shadowy like figure. Just had a body, no legs or nothing. It was hovering. Red eyes. I'll never forget the red eyes. First, when I seen it, it looked like it was about to go past my door. Then it kind of stopped. Then it looked my way and seen me looking at it, like it got mad. Then it started coming towards me. I'm ready to scream, but everybody's asleep. I don't want to think I'm just tripping. Something going on because it's coming to me. I'm like, I'm tripping. It's steady coming to me. So when I get ready to scream, it jumps on me. But when it jumps on me, the thing is, I don't see it. I can feel it on my chest, and I can't, like, move. I'm froze. Like, I'm trying to scream, but I can hear my voice up front, like, ah. So I feel it on me for 10 seconds, but I can't see it. No time, but I know it's on. So being like 10 seconds left, then I feel it get off me. So when I can move, I jump up and I run in there. My grandma tell her, like she said, it was a witch riding me, but I know what I seen, and that right there, that's not a day. I don't think about them red eyes. Like, it kind of remind me, if anybody ever seen He-Man, Orko, but without the hat, how it was hovering. But the crazy thing about it was when it jumped on me, I didn't see it. The whole time I seen it coming towards me. But I knew it was evil because I can feel the evil off. And I felt the energy, the power was like the wind blew like a draft. And when I looked, I just thought it was my brother walking to the door. And that's my story. It was scary.
Thank you, John. It's terrifying. Now, the rational explanation here is that John nodded off as he was waiting for the phone to ring, and while asleep, he suffered some sort of sleep paralysis event, a hallucination suffered while in a semi-conscious state. Or perhaps it all went down exactly like John said it did, and some shadow entity, or maybe even Mothman, given the description, somehow visited John in his bedroom. And regardless of the explanation that you've adopted, it sounded like a hair-raising experience. And we thank you again, John, for sharing with us. That brings us to tonight's final entry. Before we push play, however, a quick reminder that you can pick up all sorts of Monsters Among Us merchandise by visiting our shop at monstersamonguspodcast.com and by clicking on the shop tab. Now, for that final entry. Dark Apollo, do you copy?
Hello, Derek. This is Dark Apollo. You may call me Dark Apollo. That's not my real name. So I have a MIB story for you guys. Hello, listeners. This happened in this location at my workplace. I live in the Coachella Valley. Yes, the Coachella Valley where they do the Coachella Fest. But I work in Rancho Mirage, which is between Coachella Valley and Palm Springs. So this was on August 27th between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m. And it's an MIB, Men in Black, encounter. It was a very slow day, so I was really bored and sitting on the back of the counter with my arms folded in front of me, resting on the counter and my chin resting on my arms. Oh my God, I'm so nervous. Okay. So the whole day had been really slow for a couple of hours, so I was really bored and I was not having it. I didn't want to be at work, and I'm like, okay, I can't wait till I have to leave. So there was about 5 to 6 people in the store looking around, and I was just in the back, you know. I didn't say hi to them or anything. I just sat there, which is really bad. But all of a sudden, and I'm facing the entrance of the store, so all of a sudden, this tall, thin man walks in, and he is really old. He looks like he's 80 years old. He's really pale. And of course, he's wearing black everything. He was wearing a black fedora hat, black sunglasses, and they were oval-shaped, kind of like the ones that Will Smith's character wears at the end of the Men in Black movie. He had a black suit, he had black slacks, and I'm gonna assume he had black shoes. And I did notice that he had a black briefcase with him. So I was like, okay, this guy is a business or whatever. I mean, I wasn't sure. I was a little bit confused, but I was just staring at him the whole time. So this man, he just steps in for a moment and he looks in at the entrance of the door. He scans the room and he walks in and towards his left and takes a look at some of my merchandise. And I'm looking at him this whole time and just, you know, wondering why he's here. And then he walks to his right across from the path and he bends down. Since he's really tall, he bends down to look at some of my merchandise. And I guess he senses me looking at him or something, because this man, as he's bent down looking at some of my merchandise on the shelf, he starts to grin, he starts to smile, and then he turns his head slowly towards my direction, and I guess he spots me. And I'm kind of hidden behind the register because there's, thanks to COVID, there's like a cover, you know, so people have a hard time seeing me because there's a reflection from the light or whatever. So this man, he slowly turns his head, he grinning, and he looks at me, and mind you, I don't see any hair. He's probably white, you know, probably has white hair, but he doesn't have any eyebrows. I don't see any eyebrows, just his black oval shaped sunglasses. And he looks at me and he says to me, I can't believe they have you hiding back here. After saying that, he immediately walks out, and mind you, he walked out really fast. He made a right when he exited the place. So I saw him leaving, and so I'm wondering, who is this man? So I chase after him into at the entrance of my store, and I can't find him anywhere. There's not many shops around this area right now. There's a store next door to me. I don't think he went in there. If he did, I mean, I didn't check. There is a smoke store, smoke lounge, a couple of stores down, so he may have been in there, but I can't leave my store unattended, so I didn't really check. But yeah, and there wasn't that many people out, so I'm like, where did this man go? I can't find him. And so I go back in the store, and mind you, during this whole time, this whole encounter with this man, I was not having it that day. I didn't want to be at work, so I'm gonna describe what I was thinking during this whole process, that this MIB was in my store for less than a minute. So when he entered, you know, I noticed that he was wearing all black, and he's pale and tall and thin, and I'm all like, okay, is this some Men in Black or what? Or is someone dressing up as a Men in Black or something, just for fun, just to mess with people? or is this elderly gentleman just being nostalgic and just dressing up as a person from, you know, the 50s or 40s or something when they wore hats and they wore suits all the time? And I was also thinking, I'm like, okay, if he is a real man in black, what are we doing here? And since I wasn't really excited to be at work, I wasn't really, like, enthusiastic about anything. So I'm all thinking, trying to communicate. I mean, if he was a real man in black, I was thinking, let me communicate with him mentally if he is real. So I told him, you know, what are you doing here? What do you want? Who are you? I haven't seen any stuff, so I don't know why you're here. I guess he's looking for somebody. I don't know. So I've heard a lot of podcasts and a lot of stories about MIBs, and, you know, that he could read people's minds or something, or they could communicate mentally or something. So I was just trying to communicate with him, you know, like telling him, you know, please don't bother me, or not right now, not today, I'm not in the mood, if he is trying to scare me or something, you know, because that's what they usually do. I mean, I wasn't really scared or anything. Like I said, I wasn't really happy to be at work, so I'm just like, get out of here. And he did. He left after a minute. Hope you like my story. That's a man in black that walked into my store one summer in the middle of the day. I hope you guys all have a good day. Bye.
Now, I should point out that the Coachella Valley is only a couple dozen miles from the infamous Borrego Triangle. So it should come as no surprise that something strange should occur over there. And of course, it would have to be the men in black. For those not familiar, the men in black are said to be mysterious and odd-looking strangers that interfere with and oftentimes threaten UFO witnesses into remaining silent. Now, no one knows the true origin of these dark agents, but it's commonly believed that they work for defense contractors, the government, or that they're possibly aliens themselves. And they always seem to show up when you least expect it. Take the experience underground government base researcher John Rhodes experienced back in 1996, for example. Courtesy of the television series UFO Hunters.
I was coming here from Las Vegas to investigate the Grand Canyon Caverns. We're pulling into this pull-off outside a road. Here is a nice, shiny, new black car, and two guys there in suits waiting for me. One was leaning against the car. The other one proceeded to walk up directly to me as I was parking. I got out of the car. The gentleman came over to my vehicle, and eye to eye, he turned around. He said, "Mr. Rhodes." And of course, I don't know him, but obviously he knew me. He turned to me and he said, "Well, you know, Mr. Rhodes, you can fall down out there and get hurt. You could fall down in some hole out there and nobody would ever find you again." And I knew this was a threat.
And then what happened?
They got back in their vehicle and I didn't even see them leave because I didn't want them to think that they had intimidated me.
Did they have any kind of identification either on their jacket or in their wallet?
Nothing. As a matter of fact, when I looked at their vehicle, it just didn't have any dirt on it. It's not like somebody else drove by and some of the dirt kicked up from the road and covered their car. Their shoes were absolutely shiny. You could see a reflection off them, black. It didn't look like they had been there at all, as a matter of fact. It looked like they just stepped out of their car for the first time, a brand new car, brand new clothing, brand new shoes, everything, right down to the teeth.
And as odd as their timing seems to be, wait until you hear about their appearance and their strange demeanor. In November of 1967, Gwendolyn Martino and a few family members saw strange lights over a highway in New Jersey. A few days later, at 5:30 p.m., Martino received an unexpected knock on her door. The following excerpt is from the book, Casebook on the Men in Black, by Jim Keith. Answering the door, they met a person 17-year-old Connie Christensen called the strangest looking man I have ever seen. "Does Edward Christensen live here?" the tall man with unusually pale skin asked. "I'm from the Missing Heirs Bureau. Mr. Christensen may have inherited a great deal of money." Although the man told the family his name, they could not remember it. They did remember him saying that his friends called him Tiny.
"My friends call me Tiny."
The man was at least 6'3". And so broad in girth that the family estimated he must weigh 300 pounds. He had on a Russian-style fur hat with black visor, and a long black coat made of material that was too thin for the cold weather. Taking off his hat, they saw his head was large and round, but his face was angular and pointed. He had black hair that appeared to have been shaven off, just growing back. His eyes bugged out like thyroid eyes, and one eye seemed to be made of glass, not moving in unison with its companion. The man's voice was also extremely odd. He spoke in a tinny voice, like a computer, in a monotone, with clipped phrases. He also wheezed. Removing his coat, they noticed a badge, which he quickly covered with his hand. It looked like a gold or brass badge, Connie said. When the man sat down, his black trousers rode high on his calves, and he had dark socks on and dark shoes with extremely thick rubber soles. But perhaps the most odd thing was that a green wire came out of one sock and disappeared into his trousers. One area of the wire went into the man's leg and was covered with a brown spot. The family had been ready to eat and asked Tiny to join them. He said that although he was on a diet, in about 10 minutes, he would take a glass of water.
A glass of water in exactly 10 minutes.
Tiny proceeded to ask Edward Christensen a series of questions to determine if he would inherit money. The questions included details about scars he had on his body, cars he had owned, and a list of the schools he had attended. As Tiny talked, his face grew redder and redder. After a short while, he asked for a glass of water. He produced a yellow capsule and swallowed it, and then his face returned to its normal pallor. After about 40 minutes, Tiny left. Arlene Christensen watched him as he stood outside and gestured, and a black 1963 Cadillac pulled up to the curb. Driving in the dark with its headlights out, Tiny climbed in the car, and it drove away without headlights. Well, that's just further evidence that you do not want to have a run-in with these dark creepsters. Nothing good ever seems to come of an encounter. Now, I don't have much more to tell you. Sure, I could read several other experiences folks claim to have had, but we'll save those for another time. If either of these two stories I shared are to be believed, that's plenty of reason to be fearful. But I will leave you with something a little eerie, however. But for the full experience, you should visit the show notes in the description of this episode, or the show notes tab at the website. There you will find a video, made on a doorbell camera, supposedly showing two of these men in black as they knock on a door here in Southern California. The video is unsettling, but what puts it over the top is that some sort of floating orb seems to manifest between the two strange men as they wait there on the stoop. Now, it's hard to say if that orb is a camera malfunction or it's truly depicting something out of this world, but the clip is certainly worth a look. Now, I'll see if I can get Sarah to share it up on our social media pages as well. It's weird stuff. And just like the experience Dark Apollo detailed, it's damn near unexplainable. And lastly, I'll add that given the description of many of these enigmatic men in black, I can't help but entertain a little theory I've been cultivating over the years. You see, many of these MIBs are described as pale, frail, and dressed in dark suits. They're also described as moving in a rigid fashion. And all that is almost enough to make one wonder if these aren't the bodies of the dead, reanimated to carry out the bidding of someone or something. Just think about it. They already look dead. They are wearing what dead men most likely would have been buried in, a dark suit. And the body seems to be alien to whatever has taken residence inside. Start popping pills and pushing wires into your skin. Well, it just pushes that theory further. And it's hard to know you're missing a body once you've buried it. And sure, it all sounds crazy. But frankly, what part of the Men in Black mythos doesn't? A big thanks, Dark Apollo, for sharing that story. And keep your eyes open, and if you have a security camera, quickly go grab that footage. Now that's going to do it for this episode. Stick around until after the outro to learn how you can get more Monsters Among Us content in your life. Absolutely free. Until then, Monsters Among Us is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Crow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes and Delaney Bowers. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. And if you love the show, be sure to follow us on our social media accounts. We have accounts at Facebook and Instagram. And we're also trying to grow our presence over at YouTube. So if you get a chance, please give us a like and subscribe over there. If it's Saturday night and you're looking for something to do, why not listen to Monsters Among Us on digital radio at theunxnetwork.com. Episodes air every Saturday at 11 p.m. Eastern. And finally, tonight's score was provided by Co.AG Music, Armchair Ambiance, and Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Thank you so much for listening. A happy new year to you. And please, for God's sake, keep it spooky.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Now I'm a man of my word. So here is some additional content, absolutely free, courtesy of Travis, down in Hawaii.
Hello, Derek. My name is Travis. I'm calling from the Big Island of Hawaii. Got a story that happened to me and a friend in 2001. It was my 17th birthday, and my friend had come over to my house to spend the night. We watched a movie and hung out. We were in my room, had a cot on the floor that he was sleeping on, and I was on my bed. And we're doing that normal thing, you know, just talking stories. We're falling asleep and turn out the lights and ready to go pass out. And start to see a shape sort of appear on the ceiling, sort of like a glowing, almost like the shape of a football. And it sort of faded in very gradually. And I sat there and I wondered what I was seeing. And I asked my friend, his name was Josh. I said, "Hey, Josh, are you seeing this right now?" And he looks up. He says, "Yeah, it's kind of a football right above your bed." And you know, it was kind of that glowing green color, like a glow-in-the-dark paint or something. And we sat there and we watched it for a while. And we got curious, and so we turned the lights back on and look up at the ceiling, and there's nothing really on the ceiling, and, you know, no paint or anything obvious like that. I should also mention at the time, neither of us drank, neither of us did any drugs or anything like that. Completely sober and conscious mind is probably about 10:30 at night, maybe. You know, so we started trying to figure out what this was. I had a black light. I turned on the black light thinking, oh, maybe it's some sort of bioluminescent mold or something. Turned the light back off and we didn't see it. It's like, oh, okay, well, maybe it's nothing. And so we turned the light back off. We both try to go to bed. And it starts to reappear again, sort of slowly fading in. We flip the light back on and it disappears again. And we're talking about it. We're going, wow, this is like really weird. We can't figure out why this is happening. but we just sort of wrote it off. So we turn off the light one more time, and the football doesn't reappear, but a footprint starts to appear. And then another footprint starts to appear. And then another one, just like footprints on a beach. It looked like somebody walking across the ceiling. And in all, over the course of about 20 minutes, about 5 footprints appeared across the ceiling. All looked normal human size footprints, all in this vaguely green glow. And out of nowhere, the both of us fell asleep. Zero lead up to fatigue or anything, but the next morning we talked about it, and both of us immediately just dropped off and fell asleep. And we woke up in the morning, and a few minutes went by. We kind of talked about it, went, wow, did that really happen last night? And we recounted to each other what was going on. And it was just like, yeah, we watched these glowing footprints walk across my ceiling. And then we both got so tired, we just passed out, and never have seen anything like it since. You know, I grew up in that house. My parents built that house. We've had some other strange instances in that house, nothing quite that remarkable. And to this day, I've been in that room many, many times and never seen anything like it. So I figured you'd find that kind of an interesting story. I do want to thank you for your podcast. It's pretty interesting. I've been listening to it at work, my headphones while I mow lawns. It's pretty cool. Thank you for what you do. Yeah, keep going, man. Thank you.
Aloha, Travis. Thanks for calling in. Well, what do you all think of that one? Some sort of trick of the light? A ghost, a UFO, the Menahune, the Night Marchers, or something completely unimaginable? Then, of course, there are the footprints. And outside of a Spielberg movie, your guess is as good as mine. But I really did enjoy the entry, Travis. So thank you again for calling it in. Well, folks, this truly is the end for you non-paying customers. But it doesn't have to be. Just join us on the Beyond by subscribing to the $5 level over at patreon.com. Click the Patreon tab on our website to join up. And don't forget, those first 7 days are completely free. It's over at the Beyond that you get to hear stories like this one from Caleb in Texas.
Hey, my name is Caleb, and I'm a really big fan of your show, your podcast. I just found out about it. I was listening to the latest when I heard about the Duende, and I have a story that concerns my dad.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.